And welcome back to the Real God, number 4, Real People Podcast. I'm your host, Shoddy Shod, with my big little sis, Morgana. You want to say something to the people?
What's up, everybody?
Hey. We back. We still black, we think. At least till we get to heaven.
All day.
Oh, my goodness. Well, nah, I'm so glad to be back jumping on the pod and just be talking through some things. And how we have a real God that desires to intercede and interject on our real problems that we occur and we struggle with every day. And we don't do this often, I thought it'd be really, really good. Even Morgana don't even know it's going to do it. I think we should just pray real briefly, right, before we jump into it live and in color on the pod. So we're going to pause and pray, and then we're going to jump into it. But Lord, we just are so grateful to serve a God that desires to not only walk beside us, but his spirit walks within us in everything that we do so that we can honor him even on platforms like a podcast. And in a very unique way, Lord, I desire to pray while we even record so that the hearers of this podcast can actually receive not only from our broken mouths, but from your spirit and through the conversation and how it ties even to your scriptures at times and our personal experience. And Lord, I just ask you to bless and honor our time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Come on, Pastor.
Hey, no, none of that. But nah, man, Morgana didn't even know I was going to do that. I was like, you know what? Nah, we're going to do that this time just to switch it up. But Morgana, catch the people up. We haven't been able to pod for a while. What does the life look like in a day in the life of Morgana since the last time we pod?
Oh, man. Life has been changing. Life has been changing. I don't want to say at a rapid pace, but it's changed to better myself, I know, in my daily schedule. So I made a huge chart. I made a weekly chart, okay? Weekly chart for me to be able to just get everything done that needs to be done. And I've found that I'm less stressful throughout the week. I actually have time to think.
What? That's the thing? Must be nice.
Yeah, before I used to wake up just stressed and anxious, and now I wake up, do my devotion. Start with Jesus first.
That's what tell you them what you want. That's what the old people used to say.
Tell them what you want. And let me tell you something. Starting with Jesus is a game changer. You know, anyways, but yeah, that's kind of happening on my end for as of right now.
Okay. Now I get that. Ironically, in both of our seasons of life, both of us have figured out we are not always the best planners for the people we work for. Don't hold that against us. Show us grace. But, you know, so having a Google Calendar, I have now a Google Calendar and I have a paper planner to match up the Google Calendar, just because I'm like, man, Shad, you are stretched in a lot of good things and a lot of things that probably the Lord has even called you into. But like, if you aren't disciplined, you will not be able to serve well on those platforms. So I get it. I hear you. I'm kind of on the same boat. And even with a lot of good things, sometimes we have bad things that happen in this broken world that we live in, right? So one of the topics we were thinking about discussing, or we wanted to discuss, was just, okay, when these bad things happen, the world now calls it the side effects of those bad things, trauma. And when we incur trauma, sometimes there's a route that we can go that's healthy and biblical and it's healing. And there's a route that we go through that is, in all actuality, more traumatic in nature, more damaging in nature, and cause anxiety. So we wanted to talk about, hey, what is the difference from like a healing reaction or a traumatic reaction in the face of struggles? And so we wanted to talk about just, hey, what is that? How do we plead the blood over that thing? And then also, how do we actually move from just a trauma or triggered response to something that's more healing and redemptive? But I mean, for you, Morgana, what would be maybe some traumatic responses that you've had to kind of toe the line on or experiences you had to toe the line on whether you're going to remain in that traumatic response and depressive state or more move towards healing. What you got?
Yeah. Oh, man. My goodness. I feel like just some things that I have gone through in my past, especially in my childhood, it had me react in very like negative ways. Like, unfortunately, just this is even part of my testimony. I was sexually abused when I was younger, right? And how I was responding to that, to that trauma, I would dress like a tomboy because I didn't want any guy growing up to look at me and in an attractive way, because that was my way of pushing people away from me. And I was a lot of times, out of all my sisters, I would want to say I was the most rebellious child.
not the rebellious one, not the prodigal child.
Hey, I was also the middle child, so I don't know if that was the case. It was based off of my trauma. I don't know.
We done heard about y'all middle children.
But no, we're the best. We're also mediators. We are.
The great peacemakers.
Yeah, we're the peacemakers, right? So anyways, there's just different things that I responded in. And so once I understood the root of my wound, I was able to sit back in anything like a conflict, a conversation with somebody, and actually evaluate what's triggering me. Why did I get triggered? And what's the root of that trigger? And once you find the root of the trigger, then you're able to respond in a healthier mindset. You can sit back on the healing side of it. How we respond on the healing side is sit back, evaluate your emotions, evaluate the situation and the other person, and then respond in a more loving and peaceful way, other than just lashing out, hooping and hollering, cussing somebody out. And it's like it didn't even have to escalate to that level.
But it wasn't even that serious. That's what the young people used to say. But we becoming the old people now. It wasn't even that serious. You know?
It wasn't even that serious.
No, I mean, the way I look at stuff, like when it comes to like a trigger or a response, it's always like, what is your why? Like, where did that come from? And I was reading a book on, it's by this guy named Peter. I'm going to say C. I don't want to mess up his last name, but I can drop the link to the book in the show notes. I was reading about this book called Emotionally Healthy Leaders. And the very first section of the book talks about the roots or the shadow side of a person, meaning your worldview, the way you respond to things being based on your experience, right?
Yeah.
And understanding how much of our upbringing plays a role in our character development and our worldview, and also how we see God. A person who didn't have their dad in the mix may struggle when you describe the Lord Father, that person in the Trinity, right? When you describe him, he may struggle because he's like, yo, I don't have a good relationship with a father. So you're telling me to see this guy as a loving father, and maybe their father was abusive or just absent. So you're telling them to believe in something that is completely against their worldview or their mental makeup. And that's why within our faith, we believe that we serve a redemptive God that desires to change our makeup to become more like him so that we can see something that's against our own culture. My bad. So when I say that, what I mean is, hey, understanding the roots of something helps them, and that's how the book described it, helps a person become more healthy and more like Christ, right? I think it's even fair to say Christ might have had some trauma. You are born into this earth to a mom, and I'm sure he had to have known at some point, either just being divine or them parents having a very weird birds and bees conversation with him, he had to know that Joseph is not his biological dad. He may have even looked different than his other siblings. You live in a small neighborhood where everybody know you look different than your siblings, and they know y'all got married real quick, as the black culture would say. Right. Then for a while, you're going to be ostracized by the outside world. It doesn't matter what your parents do. You're going to be ostracized, right? You're going to be looked at differently. And it's because in their view, you don't belong. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so you're going to have a natural response. But what we see out of Christ, he never ostracized anyone. He went to the people who were ostracized to bring them in while still being loyal to his upbringing or heritage as a Jewish man. Right.
Yeah.
And so it almost seems like there is a different response to trauma and that reactive or trigger response versus to a healing or wholeness that we find for us in Christ. Christ founded it within himself, being fully God, fully man. I mean, what's your thoughts?
Yeah.
You knock around.
I like how you brought Jesus into it, because it's not that he didn't have emotions, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's that he dealt with his emotions through Christ, you know, through God. And so it's just kind of like, that's exactly how we should be doing the same thing. You know, like literally leaning to it. It's not because we still have our flesh, and he had the flesh too. But he wanted to be a good example to us. And of course, you know, he reacted. In the temple, when everybody was selling stuff, he was like, not y'all ain't about to be up in my temple selling mess.
Not like this. This ain't going down like that. Not today.
Right. So he turned over tables and all that stuff. And granted, I want to say, as he should.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But I'm just saying, bringing that back to, he was fighting on God's behalf. Like, if you're going to go to that level where you about to throw up some hands, because technically he didn't throw up hands, he just threw up tables. Let's be clear.
He threw up hands for the kingdom. It just was table hands. I don't know. Yep, you're right.
Throw up them hands for Christ. You know what I'm saying? That's what we should be really out here doing. But a lot of times we throw up hands for ourselves. We throw up hands for ourselves. And the hands that should be really thrown up, the hands that are best to be thrown up are God's hands, because that's the real heavy wrath. One thing you don't want is God's wrath. And if he's coming in as he's your protector, your provider, your everything, when you ask him to handle a situation, a conflict, baby, he will handle it. Best believe that. And I've seen him do it time and time again, where people have even come back and apologized what they've done to me. He has, like, digress a situation that could have been escalated to a higher level, like even at my job with my own boss, where I wanted to throw my hands at my boss.
She didn't want to throw him up in praise, y'all. She wanted to throw him up in vengeance. She said, "Lord, it took too long to take his vengeance. I'm gonna take him out."
I should have at least threw a desk up, but no.
Yeah.
But no, I allow God to come through, and man, I'll never forget. This is just a real quick testimony. My boss wanted to fire me. She wanted to fire me. She could not fire me because she couldn't, number one, find anything on me to fire me. She just didn't like me because the previous boss was her boss. Our previous boss was her boss. And we were cool. And so she was just trying to get everybody that liked him out of the office almost. It was crazy. But all that to say is
that she wanted a new regime.
Right. And because here we go with that emotional thing, because she had a negative emotional
response
to him, she tried to put that on everybody who like knew him as a friend or just whatever. So anyways, all that to say is that you can see how the world works. A lot of times the world will work off of based off of their emotions and their triggers, and things end up being escalated to a whole nother level when it doesn't even need to be that way. But when you bring God into it, He will digress that whole thing. And I mean, I didn't leave that place until God told me to leave, basically, until it was really time for me to move on to the next level in my life. And I thank God till this day for that situation, because it could have been a whole nother deal. So anyways, that's my experience or my take on that for sure.
No, I'm with you. And the way I look at it, too, is the scriptures say, hey, be angry, don't sin. Right. We see Jesus struggle with certain triggers, certain forms. We may not use that word yet, of anxiety or a burden or weight, just going to the cross in the Garden of Gethsemane. So that is a natural human response. But if we see how he handled that situation, in that situation, he went to the Lord with his trigger, with his trauma in real time. He separated himself from those around him to hear from the Lord. And then he landed on and he found strength in, hey, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. He trusted in the Lord's intention to even understand the response from the scenario that he was given, or from a loss of the attachment he would have to give to God, right? He's used to being in communion with God. When he takes on this sin, he feels the weight of separation of that attachment to God for a period of time. And that's what caused the trauma or the trigger or the anxiety. Yet he knows himself enough and he has enough trust in God to be like, not my will, but yours be done. And I would say in a lot of ways, that is how we give a biblical response to said trauma that we may be hanging on to, instead of allowing the Lord to heal, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And and that is what turns into triggers. When we do not allow the Lord to heal us, it turns into adult triggers, and we carry them out for so long. I'll never forget is when I met this lady. She was probably in her 50s. And at that time, I was probably like in my 20s. And the way she would just how I could see her mindset, how she thought about certain things, how she responded to stuff. I was like, man, you can be all the way up until your 50s and have never changed. Like, that's so sad to me. Like, you have never healed or tried to heal, or even if you tried to heal, you didn't push through with it, because it's hard. It's hard to heal. People think healing sounds great on a piece of paper. When you see the word heal, you think about peace. You think about greatness. You think about paradise. That's what you're thinking about.
But, yeah, you're thinking about all of the daisies and sunflowers of the healing process.
You think you skipping through heaven with Jesus, right? It's it's not like that, though, in real life. It's a lot of physical, mental, and spiritual work. And a lot of people are not willing to put in the work. And so they continue their adult life with triggers for the rest of their life. And it's crazy. It's wild. Yeah. So,
well, let me even grab that analogy you use with the sunflowers and the beauty of the healing process, right? If we use that analogy, if you're planting something, right, in the ground, you plant a seed in the ground, the seed has to break and sprout out something, which means something in that seed has to die in order for something else to grow or live. And for folks who aren't willing to die to themselves, they can't fully receive the full reconciliation and hope that comes through the gospel through Christ. Right? In that moment in the garden, Jesus literally had to say, not my will, as he's sweating to the point that folks felt like it was blood. Right? He had to die physically and emotionally to himself for the sake of giving us salvation. Sometimes the struggles we're going through really ain't about us. It's about what is the Lord trying to kill in us, you know, so that something else can grow. And we can be fully whole in him. But if we're like that seed being planted, are we being planted in good soil? Okay, you weren't planted in good soil. Guess what? If you grew and sprouted up fruits in not good soil, guess what? You can thrive in better soil with ease because of that experience. There's even still something in that death to yourself. But it's a process. You know what you
It's got? A process. No, I was going to say, you know, in bad soil and the good soil, meaning for me, what stood out to me on that is surrounding yourself with good company, good people that want to see you succeed, want to see the best of you, people who want you to grow, you know what I'm saying? People who love you, you gotta surround yourself. But if you continue in the environment of negativity, depression, suppression, oppression, all the sessions.
Hey, all the sessions.
I don't. It's not going to be good. It's not going to be good. I'm not saying that has never been done. I'm saying that if it has been done, I'm telling you right now, it's through Jesus Christ.
That's it.
It's only through him that you can really get out of that. And so there are some things that we can physically help. There's that whole new age thing going on now, crystal sage, all this stuff. And I was at the house of one of my friends. We had been friends for a long time.
Yeah.
And I had noticed, you know, she started having a couple of idols kind of show up in her bathroom. In her bedroom, her living room.
Yeah.
Then I thought she had some sage. She was doing a lot of peaceful things, right? And that's what the world tries to show you. You can do all these things. It's going to make you feel peaceful.
Spiritual.
On the outside. But internally, you're still screaming for help. Okay? Internally, you can do everything you... Do the breathing, doing all that breathing, getting the yoga up,
meditate,
you can do all that stretching, meditate, all that. But if you have not really dealt with the inside of you, there will be problems. And some things only God can unlock. Only God can unlock. The devil can unlock everything that God can unlock. God is the one who has the key to many things that you're trying to understand and grasp. And you can't try to get it around your mind until you go to God and be like, hey, God, I really need help with this. Like, I got to put this in your hands because I've tried to do it my entire life. And that's how we do it. We try to control everything, especially in traumatic situations. Usually people are very controlling. They come out very controlling.
Which is a natural response because you felt like you didn't have control and you don't want to feel that anymore.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
but,
exactly.
Yeah, what were you saying?
No. I was just going to say, and so that's why you'll see a lot of people, they're controlling. They do a lot of stuff like OCD clean freaks, you know. They're trying to clean internally. But the only thing they're able to really reach is that physical cleaning up the house, cleaning up their bathrooms, cleaning the kitchen. That's the only cleaning that they're able to do. They even try to look nice, dress nice, smell nice, put the makeup on, cover it all up, their hair, wear the wig, whatever you got to do to cover up what you're internally feeling, what you're internally going through. And so I just pray and hope like I'm, and this is coming from somebody, like I said, I've been through a traumatic event. And so for me to be on the other side now and still going through healing, I'm be 100% honest, still going through healing. There is joy on the other side, but I know deep down inside, God was the only one that was able to reach down there in my darkest times and pull me up out of that. Ain't nobody else able to do that. Everybody else thought I was
nobody but King Jesus. Long as I got King Jesus. And I ain't gonna say I don't need nobody else. I was with Vicky when he came out, but I done became redeemed a little bit. So I'm like, I need a few people, not everybody.
No, for sure. And those are the people that God will place in your life. Those are the people that God will place in your life. And that's part of the body of Christ. That's the whole point of the body of Christ. Use your fellow brothers and sisters and help you out. So anyways, I've been talking the whole time. I'm going to let you talk. I just have to get that out.
You on it. Let them use you. That's what old people say. But no, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to land the plane on our takeaway.
And in the interest of time, we are going to break up this episode. So if you want to see the conclusion of this episode, come back next week for how do we allow our trauma to build us instead of bury us. Talk to you soon.